then you're right.
But every day you new.
That's right. That's right. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. You want to get...
Yes.
Yes. That's okay. They're protecting themselves
yes.
from being discovered or from... What?
You know it's wrong.
Yes. Did you take the cookie? The little kid says no. It's all over his face, you know. He did something wrong. He knows it.
If we're not through that,
yeah.
It's a continuous, when somebody goes, man, I feel like more needs to help than more. You know, you know, you just
yes, yes. If you know, in fact, that they have misrepresented the case, then to stop the conversation and refuse to take part in the conversation, if you know that they are seeking to cover it up or deceive or whatever, that's appropriate. I think encouragement for them to fess up and to tell it honestly is the next step. Right. I was with my grandchildren yesterday because one of them had a birthday, and my oldest grandson told a story that was obviously not a true story about something, and he stopped in his tracks and he looked at me. I think I looked skeptical or something at him, and he looked at me and he said, "Grandpa," he said. I didn't. And I said, I know. All right. No, it was funny. It was funny. It wasn't bad. Well, I'm making excuses. The kid fessed up. I'm happy about that. Chapter 12 of Proverbs. I didn't tell you the truth, Grandpa. 12:22 A. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. If you want to know God's attitude in the matter, He doesn't mince words. He says, I hate it. I detest it. It is loathsome to me to hear people misrepresent and lie. And so we read that clearly here in verse 22 of Proverbs, chapter 12, 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. That word abomination is not used willy-nilly in the Old Testament. It's used about especially reprehensible kinds of acts. And God classifies lying along with some other heinous kinds of acts that He also calls an abomination. He calls idolatry an abomination, and there are other things that He calls an abomination. Unnatural relations with people, He calls it an abomination. Here He says lying is an abomination, utterly detestable to God. But the second half of the verse says those who deal truthfully are His delight. Now, Doris said this a moment ago, it pleases Him, and it says so right here. It's His delight when you reflect His character. Truth telling is simply reflecting the character of God as you do what is right and say what is right. And He will always be pleased when you do what He asks you to do. And truth-telling is certainly one of the things that He commands us to do. Lying not only is wrong, it not only displeases God, but it really hurts. Can hurt. Proverbs chapter 25. We're almost done. Proverbs chapter 25 on the subject of lying. 2 weeks is enough on lying. How many times can you lie? Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 18. Innocent white lies, they're called. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me. Proverbs 25:18. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. You can inflict a great deal of harm by lying about someone. There's lying to someone, That's when you yourself tell a lie, and there's lying about someone, and that's when you bear false witness against them. And it says that you can hurt them very badly, and you can cause them to suffer a great deal in their reputation. You can cause them to suffer a great deal even in terms of their personal well-being, because somebody who believes that lie will act upon it in some way. You turn as well to chapter 26, the very next proverb, chapter 26 in Proverbs. Notice what it says about the foolishness, the kind of danger there is in being callous and careless in this matter of lying. Chapter 26 of Proverbs, verse 18 and 19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, "I was only kidding. I was only joking." How many times have you said that? You know, just kidding. You say something mean, or you say something untruthful, and they react, and you say, "Just kidding." You've had the effect. You've had the wound. You've inflicted the wound, and then you want to sort of cauterize it by saying, "Just kidding," when the effect has already been had. So that we are masters of hurt sometimes and harm with our words, and we know, because we know people, and we know the people that are closest to us best of all, we know the words that will hurt them most easily, and so we inflict them, and then we try to cover ourselves by saying, "Oh, didn't mean that, just kidding, I was just joking." And in fact, we have hurt them very, very deeply. Words matter. And we need to recognize that we need to be in control of our language and how we speak to one another. Verse 28 of the same proverb, Proverb 26, 28. A lying tongue, look at this, it's not innocent at all. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it. Hates those who are crushed by it. When you lie about someone, you are in effect expressing hatred. Your desire to protect yourself or to cause them harm, either way, expresses hatred. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth, oh, this is a toughie. You can lie by embellishing in your compliments and in your telling people things that are more than they are. And, you know, a lot of people gain advantage or seek to gain advantage by flattery, when you're really misleading someone and you're causing getting their heads to be, you know, inflated and all of that. It says a flattering mouth works ruin. You get somebody to believe those lies and they become the the peacock that you've turned them into by virtue of your false blandishments. And what you've done is you've caused them to become vulnerable. You've opened them up to that kind of false appeal that people can have to their egos. So we have to recognize that we should not just be harsh in the way we speak to one another, we should be kind when we talk to one another, but that we shouldn't mislead for overblowing and overdoing the kind of compliments that we pay. If we say it, we should mean it. It should be the truth. I want to close, I want to get to that, but I want to have one final thing that I want to say about this issue of lying. And I want you to turn to the last book in the Bible, and that's Revelation chapter 22. If I don't get this in, I will not have finished the subject. And so let me get this in, then I'll get the question. Revelation chapter 22, the last book in the Bible. I will hold that question. Revelation chapter 22. We're talking about those who are condemned forever. We're talking about those who, after the judgment, are forever outside of the fellowship of God. This is very near to the very end of the book of Revelation. Talking about such individuals, these are unrepentant sinners, those who have not repented of their sins. It says in verse 15, but outside, that is outside of the kingdom of God, outside of the heavenly kingdom, but outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Isn't it interesting that the very last thing in the very last book of the Bible, characterizing those who have failed to repent, that the particular sin that is characterized last should be the sin of lying? And that those who are outside of God are those who have really persisted in deceiving themselves. Because you see, when God speaks his word and we don't believe it, we believe a lie instead. And that lie condemns us. Because when we fail to believe the truth of the gospel, we believe a lie, either that we're okay, but there's some other way, or it's something else that will in fact end up condemning us. Those who love and practice a lie. There may be a question or two. I don't want to hold you up, so come on up and ask me that question, and I'll be here, okay? Thank you for being patient. I just wanted to get through that last point. Yes? We're going to pray. Colleen, yes. Any update on the... just remember her. Okay. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, sometimes it's a little heavier than at other times. Sometimes it's more convicting than at other times, depending on the nature of the topic. In this particular instance, we know that each one of us has been guilty at one point or another of white lies, half-truths, flattering, outright deception, whatever it may be. We know, Father, that we have reflected that aspect of a fallen nature in that particular kind of behavior in such a way that it has indeed been harmful to ourselves and to others. For this we ask your forgiveness, and for this we ask your cleansing. May we become those who are going to reflect your character, your righteousness, your uprightness, by being tellers of truth, knowing that you delight in that, because you delight in seeing us seek to be obedient to you and to seek to please you. That's what we want to do today. Father, we pray for Colleen Williams. We just pray, Father, that as she is now undergoing dialysis and as she is having to deal with treatment for pancreatic cancer, we know how delicate her situation is. And we just pray, Father, that you be close to our member who is always so upbeat and cheerful. And we just pray you'll encourage her during a time of real testing. We pray, Father, you'll heal her and allow her to be able to function for as long a time as you will use her here in this world to serve you and to bring honor to you. Thank you for your attitude. Now we pray for consolation and for comfort. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.